that masturbation is a kind of summoning spell for your own rational mind. Because we're all so driven by hormones and by desire. Sometimes you've got to have a wank to speak to your real self. You have a wank, you go, oh, I should have shagged my ex one last time. I'll text her, I'll meet her, I'll shag her. And then you come and a little voice comes on in your head that goes, yeah, don't do that, mate. You've got to be careful with jokes, haven't you? Because not everybody's got a sense of humour. I can remember when I first realised not everybody's got a sense of humour. I was 13, I was at school and we were doing a class on stereotypes. The teacher was a really good guy. He's just talking about how stupid stereotypes are. And he was talking about a stereotype that day that's so old-fashioned and so Scottish that you definitely won't have heard it. Have you ever heard the stereotype that deaf people are really strong? That was a genuine thing when I was growing up. Deaf people, particularly deaf and dumb people, were believed to be really strong. And the teacher said, think how stupid that is. Have you ever seen a deaf contender for the heavyweight championship of the world? And me, age 13, I put my hand up and I went, there was one, sir, but he was disqualified for punching after the bell. And nobody laughed. And I knew right then that life was going to feel pretty long. You've got to have a bit of leeway with jokes, haven't you? I can't write jokes for the average person, can I? The average person is Chinese. So I'm from Glasgow, a city where people think that hepatitis B is a fucking vitamin. Explain Glasgow's attitude to you. This happened to me recently. I was having a wee snooze in a park because my career's been going really well lately. I was having a wee doze under a tree and a guy came up to me and he went, do you know your problem? You're fucking unapproachable. Glasgow's like an entirely negative city. I went to a coffee shop one time. Two middle-aged women sat across from me and they started to moan as they sat down about how long they thought the coffee was going to take. So nothing had happened and they were both angry. And coffee turned up and the first one takes a sip and goes, that's not very good, is it? And the second one takes a sip of hers and goes, I don't even like coffee. English people don't really understand Scottish attitudes. You think that we all just want to see the English football team get beaten, but actually a lot of us would much rather see the team plane crash into an oil refinery. I enjoyed reading about Sam Allardyce. I didn't realise English football had a corruption problem. I thought the only problems in English football were racism, sexism, homophobia, match fixing, gambling, sexual assaults, and the failure to perform at major tournaments.
I've got the memory of an elephant. I remember one time I went to the zoo and saw an elephant. I was disappointed to find that Dunkirk wasn't actually a biography of William Shatner. I accidentally kicked my dog early and it bit me on the bollocks. My mate said, it's karma. I said, no, if anything, it's even more angry. I tell you what always catches my eye, short people with umbrellas. I put on a lot of weight, so I rang up Weight Watchers. I said, it's an emergency, can you send somebody round? And they said, yes, we can, we got loads of them. I was actually thrown out of Weight Watchers for making sarcastic comments at the weekly weigh-in. As you can imagine, I accepted the decision with huge grace because they threw her out as well. I was watching TV, the announcer said there's a documentary about the clitoris on the red button, but I couldn't find it. I was in a fancy lingerie shop. I said, are these knickers satin? He said, no, they're new. I didn't know what to get my little niece for Christmas, so I asked my sister what she's into. Apparently, at the moment, she's mad about frozen stuff, so I got her some oven chips and peas. It's been a tough week. I got myself a memory foam mattress, and now it's trying to blackmail me. As a child, I was made to walk the plank. We couldn't afford a dog. I went on a positive thinking course. It was shit. You would be. And it was half empty. The area in Nando's between the front and back door is called a periperineum. What I like most about that joke is that people who know what a perineum is usually haven't heard of Nando's. Ironically, there's only a very small overlap between the two. The doctor told me to lose some weight. I said, how? He said, don't eat anything fatty. I said, what, pies, chips, that sort of thing? He said, no, just don't eat anything fatty. Old lady names are very much back in fashion at the minute, like Lily or Elsie or Rose, and we wanted something like that for our daughter, but we couldn't decide, so in the end we just called her Nan. So we should grow into it.
Any Welsh people out there? Tell them! Tell them how good it is now! Oh, it's not shit anymore. We spent millions, so it's not shit for you. That's the whole... Have you... Welsh people, where are you from?
Swansea!
Fair enough, it's shit. You're quite good. Yeah. I'm trying to explain that the place has improved and you lob Swansea in just a... Lucky Swansea's still a desperate dump, isn't it? Let's face it. Devoid of any hope whatsoever, Swansea... The... Have you been? There's a sign on the way in that says, kill our children, not your speed, isn't there? Is a... Just... I'm talking about places like Cardiff and the places that have... Yes! These places have improved. We've had development money. We've done... Cardiff Bay, have you been there? Go there on holiday. It's lovely. We've done it all up. You've got cafes and bars. You've got the sea down there now. It's amazing. Down where the shit was, that's all sea now, most of it. And it's going to be amazing when they finish it. Has anybody seen the posters of what Cardiff Bay is going to be like when it's all done? It's not. It's going to be amazing. There's going to be people chatting, laughing, texting. Welsh people, these are, presumably. Having interesting conversations over dinner. We're all going to be a lot better looking by the time it's finished as well. You look out. Where they're going to get these people with fashionable glasses and teeth from in Cardiff, I got no idea. You've got to admire their optimism, haven't you? Fair play. Talking of optimism, you've got Cardiff Bay. I was there not long ago. Some of these restaurants, some of them have got tables outside. Al fresco dining in Cardiff. They're having a laugh on me. I tried to have a Twix at a bus stop in Wales a few years ago. It was too wet to eat, to be honest with you. Everybody's pretending it's Madrid. Come on, we'll sit outside. Your soup bowl's filling up faster than you can eat it, for Christ's sake. Stop raining! You never get past your starters after 7 hours of soup and rainwater, you give up. Sue, your gin and tonic's overflowing, the little umbrella's blown inside out. Turn it back into the wind! Turn it back into the wind! Is waiters with frosted eyebrows fighting their way to the table. Spaghetti carbonara! Spaghetti carbonara! Sure, I'll get another one! I'll get another one! It's people throwing life buoys to their bread rolls. I'll pull you in! I'll pull you in! Peas being airlifted to safety. Oh, Wales is improving. Even the valleys. Go to the valleys on holiday. Even the valleys. They are. Shut your face. They're getting better. They're getting better, the Welsh. I did a gig in Pontypridd. In the Welsh valleys. Were you there at the gig I did when there was a piece of sun-dried tomato on the stage? Not bullshit. In a real piece of sun-dried tomato. We couldn't even do the gig. Everybody was just staring at it. I couldn't get them back. I couldn't get their attention. That's not local to your area, is it? The sun-dried tomato. Hey, there was a pile-up in the valleys a few years ago because somebody mentioned satsumas. Did you read about that? Somebody's trodden that, haven't they? That's what's happened. That's, do you live here now, madam? Is that, do you live here? And are you from the valleys?
My boyfriend is from the valleys.
Your boyfriend? It was probably him that trod in the sun-dried tomato and dragged it all the way back. That's what he probably stepped in the sun-dried tomato in London and took it all the way back to the... He must have been shitting himself on the way back. They'll kill you for that in Pontypridd, won't they? Get it off me! They're going to kill me! They're going to kill me! Ditch the shoe! Ditch the shoe!
I get shocked about what I get annoyed by. I get really annoyed by pizza leaflets. Everyone here in London, you know, you get pizza leaflets through your door. I get 8 a day, sometimes more. You know, I shouldn't bother them. I should pick them up, put them in the bin. But everyone that comes through, I go, ugh. It's like someone standing next to you all day long going, do you want a pizza? Fancy a pizza? Do you want a pizza? Do you want a pizza? Fancy a pizza? No, I don't want a bloody pizza. And I wouldn't mind if the photographs made them look tasty. But, you know, it looks like someone's cooked a kid's painting, doesn't it? Another thing that annoys me, tea bags. Oh, God. Because they're not bags, are they? You can't put anything in them, you can't take anything out. That's the minimum you expect from a bag, isn't it? If someone said to you, can you hold my bag? And you couldn't put anything in it, you couldn't take anything out. It hasn't got handles, they don't have handles, do they? You know? Yeah. You go, it's not a bag, it's a cushion. Should be called tea, sealed yet perforated paper cage. Suppose they can't fit that on the box, can they? I'd meet them halfway. Herbal prison of permeable mesh. I'm a reasonable guy. Another thing drives me mental, right? Those, you know, the self-checkouts at supermarkets. Oh, God. I come away from there. I don't feel like a man. I don't even feel like a mammal. I feel like an amoeba when I come out of that place. Because nothing swipes, does it? I'm swiping. Nothing swipes. OK, I won't have carrots this week. Then I can live without butter. The other day I was begging it to let me have a chicken. You know? No, just have a chicken! Just a chicken! I was rubbing it, banging it, swiping it. I'm going to leave the money here and I'm going, OK? You do your worst. Oh, I hate coming out of that place. Yeah? I walk up there with 2 bags of shopping. I come away with a can of Coke and an apple. And for some weird reason, the apple swiped. It hasn't got a sticker on it. It worries me. I get annoyed by the most... So what really annoys me? Wrong numbers. People dial me up with the wrong number. But I don't get angry. What I do, and you should do this, it's great fun, I don't let on it's a wrong number. It's great fun. So someone rings up, you know, hello. And they say, is Mandy there? Yeah. Mandy? Oh, yeah, just hold on a sec. Just hold on a sec. She's just coming, okay? Give me a sec. I don't know who it is. Some wanker! What have I told you? Don't wear your shoes in the house! Oh, put the special slippers on. She's just changing her shoes.
We're here to talk about relationships. Let's crack straight on with the first slide. Making... don't laugh at that. That's not meant to be funny, please. Let's not have another Folkestone on our hands, please. Making divorce work. Now, given that it is a rocky ride, an emotional roller coaster, I start off with a joke, ladies and gentlemen, just to loosen us up. Here it is. if you're going to get divorced, you have to be like the man in the toll booth. Why is that, Keith? Well, you have to be willing to accept, this is the joke, change.
It's a zinger,
it's a zinger. When you divorce, there is sweeping change. Changes right across your life in every area. One of the first things to change is the locks. You make a... You may come home one day and find that your key no longer fits your wife's lock. Another man's key is fitting your wife's lock. And stop that! Stop it! Stop! I'm stamping on that. Riaz, with a Z, please. Stop it. It's not that sort of a show. Well, I mean, it's not a show, is it? It's a talk. But it's not smutty. So you may come home and find that your key no longer fits the lock. Good. Yes, it can. And it can be very difficult to tell why a relationship is going to go wrong. Why is that? Well, I think it's because at the beginning of any relationship, when two people get together, there's always a sense of... of what? Hammersmith, at the beginning of a relationship, a sense of... Pardon?
Worry.
Worry! No. Anyone else? At the beginning of a relationship, a sense of... foreboding. Foreboding is the wrong answer. Lust. Lust. No, no, no. Uncertainty. There's always a sense of uncertainty. A feeling of, will they? Won't they? And there's no way of... Please, Hammersmith, take it seriously. We're talking about emotions. A sense of, will they, won't they? And there's no... Hammersmith, I will walk off the stage, please. There's no way of predicting when a couple get together whether or not the relationship will work. Will it last a long time? No. Not a chance in hell. Will they stick together? No, no. Will the marriage endure? Yes. Yes. Lee and Leslie. Now, Lee and Leslie are a lesson to us all. They've made a marriage work. So why is it then that when they can make a marriage work, so many others can't? Paul Simon said, there are 50 ways to leave your lover. One. Hammersmith, time out. Please, start to take it seriously. One. Slip out the back, Jack. Two. Make a new plan, Stan. And 48 others.
But I have developed a new hobby. Some of you probably already do this. I've started listening into people's conversations on the bus and the train. It's quite entertaining. And I was listening not long ago to two old ladies, and they were talking about what they would do if they were men for a day. And I thought, this is going to be brilliant, because pensioners are, by definition, bonkers. But I went out to lunch with a couple of my friends, and I thought, well, I'll ask them the same question. So my first friend, I said, what would you do if you were man for a day? Without even thinking, she just went, I'd have a wank! Sounded like she needed to. She sounded awfully tense. But these old ladies, different generation to me and my friends, in their 80s, and one of them just said, Edith, what would you do if you're a man for a day? The other one said, no, in my luck, I'd get a Tuesday. And what can you do on a Tuesday? My second friend, I said, what would you do if you're a man for a day? She just said, I just do everything. And I thought she meant like in a sexual way. And I said, is that what you mean? Like you just do everything. And I said, is that what you mean? She went, no, no. Just all the little jobs round the house. But I've been trying to go on a diet. I'm not really very successful. But I find that whenever I go shopping and I can't get into things, you know, when you try clothes on and you're the size you weren't expecting to be, I just come home and I put on a song, and the song is Big Girls Don't Cry. You know the song? There's a couple of versions of it. Big Girls Don't Cry.
such a load of rubbish, that, isn't it? Big girls don't cry. Yeah, they do. Cry because they're fat, cry because they can't get a boyfriend, and they cry because there's no trifle left. But I was on holiday in Spain last year, and I'm bragging, I know, and outside the hotel was a lovely pool, and I wanted to go in the pool, of course I did, but I'm not overly confident with my figure in a swimming costume, and I was watching the women who were walking in the pool, and these were like tiny, you know, these wafer-thin, tiny women. And I thought, I'm not going to walk in with one of them. If I walk in with one of them, people are going to think I've bloody eaten one. And I wouldn't anyway, because there's no meat on them. So what I decided to do instead is just to walk in with the children, because kids are all really fat these days. If I walk in the same time as a 9-year-old boy who's got bigger tits than me, nobody's looking at me anymore. But like I say, I don't have kids, and most of my friends don't have kids, but I think if you ask any woman who doesn't have kids, what would worry them about having kids would always be childbirth. It's quite a reasonable thing to worry about childbirth. From what I understand, it changes your downstairs, doesn't it? It changes your downstairs. I quite like my downstairs the way it is, thanks very much. Certainly don't want a bloody extension. But it's bound to change though, isn't it? Because you're forcing a person out. That's what you're doing. You're forcing a person out. I've never forced a person out. I forced a couple in. With a shoehorn.
You don't need to be in the army these days to get a gun if you're a young person. A lot of gun crime on the streets, a lot of caps getting popped. I don't really know the solutions. I just know the problems. It used to be in the UK, at 14 years old, you could legally be in possession of an air rifle. Well, it's not a proper gun, it's still sore, right? But that get moved to 17 years old, because you know, 17-year-olds, they're dead responsible. If somebody was pointing a gun at you, you'd be going, "That's fine, he looks about 17. That's good." You know, that's what he's done. 17 years old to be in possession of a firearm, but you've got to be 18 before you can be in possession of fireworks. 17, you can shoot somebody dead, but you've got to wait a year before you can frighten the shite out of a cat. But drugs, well, I get offered drugs quite a lot in this game. You get offered the usual suspects like ecstasy, speed, and a drug called horse tranquilizer. You shouting yay or nay? There. I can understand people who don't know anything about drugs. Maybe trying ecstasy, because it sounds quite good. Well, the connotations of the name, ecstasy. You think of states of euphoria and happiness. And then speed is pretty self-explanatory. Then horse tranquilizer. That hardly sounds the most sociable of evenings. The fact of replaced the original name with the effect it has on a horse. I think that's the way every drug should be tested. Give a lot of them to horses, then you can see what it actually does to you. It would also make the Grand National pretty interesting. 20 quid on the one it's breakdancing, please. I was watching a programme about children from the opposite end of the social spectrum, a programme called My Super Sweet 16. Have anybody seen this? Don't get too excited, it's quite shite. I was watching it about 2 o'clock in the morning when the TV's quite shite. Anybody watch late night telly? You ever been up that late at night when the TV just goes, "Get to bed"? There's nothing to see here.
People often ask what made me get into stand-up comedy. I always say my mum's side, that's the funny side. But it more or less started with school. When I was in school, I was dyslexic. I can hear the thoughts in the room right now. Oh my God, he's dyslexic. He can't play Scrabble. Oh my gosh. I think where comedy started for me, because I was a bit of a class clown, you know, and the thing is when you're dyslexic, it's not that you can't read or you can't write. For every child, it's always different. For myself, it was always my concentration would affect my education. Like, let's say, for example, I'm talking, let's say me and you are friends, bro. We're not being disruptive, though, to the class. But everybody in this room remembers that one particular old teacher. She's like 172 or some stuff like that. Yeah? And do you remember when she'd catch you talking and make a big meal out of it? So we're having a small conversation, then she noticed me, particularly me, talking, ghastly. We've got a conversation over here. Yes, children, we've got a conversation over here. No, stand up. No, you can stand up. Do you remember someone would try and defend it for you? Actually, do you remember what you actually say to her as a reply? But miss, I'm not even doing anything. Do you remember when teachers just lost it for a little bit? That's right, you're doing nothing. Now stand up. Someone would try and defend it for you in your honor, in your class.
Now miss, you know what, man wasn't even talking, you know, I was sitting right there. I swear to you, I feel like you're just segregating him because he's a dyslexic. Why are you doing this, miss?
Do you remember when your teacher just didn't care anymore? She's been there so long, she didn't care. Do you remember when your teacher's like, What? You can fuck off! Do you remember the first time your teacher swore? Do you remember that kid? He couldn't believe it. What, you're swearing at me? No, I don't care. I'm telling my mum. What do you mean about me? I don't care, but I'm going to tell Austin. What do you mean, me, yeah? Tell the whole me. This teacher didn't care. And you, now you, stand up. So I stood in front of the whole class. You know, I was in a science lesson. So one teacher said to me, so Mr. Mo, being as you like to talk. No, because you like to talk. You ever seen when teachers get so passive-aggressive, they laugh, but nothing's funny? Mr. Mo, no, you like to talk. You think it's MSN or something like this, don't you? Yes. So, being as you like to talk, yeah, you can tell everybody in this lesson, yes? Yeah, no, because you're a talker. You're going to be a teacher one day, aren't you? You can tell everybody in this lesson what osmosis is, huh? What is osmosis? So I was like, osmosis. So I was like, well, osmosis is actually the process where a high concentration goes into a low concentration, a bit like if I put potatoes in water, they expand with weight and density. Anyway, what I was saying before getting really interrupted, basically like... This old teacher lost her mind. Do you remember the teacher got so angry they start shaking, but they shake so much their turkey neck would shake at the same time? Do you remember that teacher?
How dare you in my lesson on the day of the Sabbath?
The Sabbath? It's Orange Wednesdays. What's this Sabbath thing about? What's that? How can I get involved with that stuff?
Do you know what? Get out right now. You can get out right now.
So I never forget, you know, I'm walking outside the lesson, you know, spudding some of the guys in the way. Don't know. See no way. Do you know what? I've had enough of being treated like this. I've had enough of this because right now I'm in year 11. Soon I'm going to leave. I'll be in college earning some real money, making some EMA. I've had enough of being treated like this. Yeah. And I said to my teacher, I said, you know what, miss? I'd actually be learning if you was doing your job, which should be teaching the whole class simultaneously. So went, oh my dears!
But I got Sky TV now, which is excellent. You can pause live TV, just pause it. The people at home now can just pause it, and it's a perfect pause. Not the old sort of 1980s VHS pause. That was a very different story, wasn't it? You couldn't even see what you were watching in 1980s pause. People who weren't moving would start moving. Even moving in this scene. People in paintings would come to life. I'm in a painting! But then once you pause it, it's quite exciting because you can watch it back at like times 2 or times 6 or times 12 or times 30, which makes boring programs quite entertaining. Like at the tennis, you can forward the changeovers. Watching Andy Murray eating a banana in times 12 is quite exciting. I watch Deal or No Deal in times 30. It really whizzes along. I watch all TV. I watch TV just to slag it off, to be honest. Dragon's Den winds me right up. I know you're rich, dragons. You don't need to bring your cash with you. They sit there with cash on their tables. I'm so tremendously wealthy, all my bank accounts are full. I've had to bring additional funds with me tonight. What about you, Theopithetus? Have you got money on your table? Oh, I'm completely loaded. I've thrown money up onto my table, that's every chance. What about you two dragons? Oh, yes, we've got a lot of cash here. All right, bring in the first poor person. Let's see what they've got. They come in trembling. Hello, dragons. Please, can I have some cash for the ideas in my brain? I feel sick just looking at poor people. Look at the state of her clothing. For that reason, I'm out. What about you, Theopithetus? Are you out? I will be out, but I'm going to humiliate the bitch for 15 minutes. Then I will declare that I too am out. I'd like to go on Dragon's Den with a shotgun. Just stand there, pointing it at each of them individually, till one of them goes, so what's your idea? Quite simple, put that cash in this bag. All right? You get no equity. I like Sun TV. I watch it till the bitter end, literally like the early hours of the morning, till the signing zone, the death zone. That's when you know it's probably time for bed, you know? And there's somebody in the corner signing. You feel a bit like, this isn't really for me. They almost look at you like, come on, you could have watched this in the day. It's probably bedtime for you. Deaf people have been asleep all day to stay up for this. Have some respect. I like it when there's no dialogue in the show and they watch TV with you. The other day I was watching the Blue Planet or something. This is a show with David Attenborough where they discover creatures from the depths of the ocean for the very first time. Literally fish that were only just discovered and they were naming them on the show. So he was going, here we have the newly discovered Diplodocus. And the signing guy was going... He resorted to impersonating the fish. It was hilarious. The fish was swimming, he was just underneath going...
Paunch. There's always a very specific laugh in the audience. I've learned to recognise it. It's just over there tonight. It's this. And I know what it is now. That is the laugh of a thin yoga woman. And I know what the laugh means. The laugh is like, that's funny, but I'd kill myself if I looked like you. But I promise you, there's advantages to having a Prosecco paunch. Make some noise if you got one. Two female a laugh for the bodies in the room. Don't be shy, lads. I can see you. It's quite well lit. Let's try that again. We're all being honest about ourselves. Give us a cheer if you've got a Prosecco paunch. Boys, boys, boys. The thing is, if you have a Prosecco paunch, there are advantages to it, right? Two main ones I can think of. Number one, I don't want to be crude, but I can take some hammer. Yeah, it's true. I can give you a list of names that can attest to that as well. Not surnames. Now, the other thing is my Prosecco paunch always gives me the greatest slice of joy, right? You know those three incredibly hot days we get that we pass off as the summer, right? I absolutely love those because that's when I get all my tanning done. I'm taking it very seriously. I go and get a chair from the kitchen. I go and put it slap bang in the middle of my garden, right? Because all the sun hits there. I've not got outdoor furniture. I'm not a Tory. So I pop it there. And then I get as naked as is legally possible. So I've got full spaniel's ears out. Smallest knickers I can find. You might be worrying about me now, because this is obviously filmed in London. I live in the countryside. I've not really got neighbours. I've got one lad who can see into my garden. He's depressed. He's not looking out his window for 3 weeks. We're fine, right? I also get very precious when I'm doing my tanning, right? Very precious. So what I'll do is I roll my knickers down as small as I can get them because I'm like, I don't want tan lines, actually. I don't want tan lines. I've got a bush like a badger, but I don't want tan lines. It's got TV. I don't want tan lines. You're not allowed near cows. So I lie there drinking it in. And as I lie there, think to myself, you know what? I am going to get up and I am going to go to the freezer and I am going to treat myself to a third Magnum of the day. Because I'm a special princess and I do deserve it. Thank you. But all the people who are allowed ice cream up there in that one section. Lactose intolerant in the stores. Closer to the toilets, it makes sense. So I'll decide I'm going to treat myself to that Magnum. And then I'll wait another 40 minutes because I can actually be asked to get up and get it. And then when I get up and get it, this is where my Prosecco porridge really steps up. Because as I stand up, I will hear the sound of my own gunt peeling off the top of my own leg. Yeah. Don't go, don't pretend you're not turned on. It's embarrassing. It's an incredible noise. It's like this. That's my mating call. It is. I just hit a row of bald heads along the fence like that. Just divorced dads who are like, is that low self-esteem I can hear? Do you want to come to Pizza Hut and be a mum for 2 hours?
The problem is the builders, my dad's mate, and he's a proper geezer, proper Southeast London geezer. One of those builders, you know that walk? Just walks like that. His legs like he's got a pool table between his legs. And he walks like that, and also he's got those really thin jogging bottoms. You know those like grey jogging bottoms that builders wear? I don't know where they get them from. They're so thin, and it just grabs onto anything that's there. Getting stared out by his knob and balls as he comes in. And at some time, it's weirder than him being naked. I don't know why. It feels more intrusive. He's like, hello, son, what we got here? I don't know. Everything's walking around like that. I reckon I could draw his knob and bollocks from memory better than mine. So he's coming like that, and I'm like, oh, God. I go, do you want a cup of tea? He goes, yeah, I'll have a cup of tea. I went, how many sugars? He went, 13. That's not a cup of tea anymore, that's a pudding. That's an angel delight of a tea bag, innit? 13 sugars, I'd our mate sticking it in. It's about £3 worth of sugar. He's only come round for a quote, it's already cost me. I put 14 in to test him. Give it him. He went, it's a bit sweet, innit? Are you winding me up? You know me on 13, you greedy bastard. Oh, type 2 Terry's come round and it's a bit sweet for him, is it? When are you going to do this job? I want it done before your foot comes off, all right? Anyway, I had a Kit Kat in the fridge, right? I thought, right, let's get him back on side of Kit Kat, right? He's into sugar. I like introducing people to new things. See if he wants a Kit Kat. Four-finger Kit Kat. Like, how would you eat a Kit Kat? Four fingers? I've said that wrong, haven't I? I thought you looked at me funny. Sorry, I said that like it was your name. I meant to say... I don't know what I meant to say. How would you eat a four-finger Kit Kat? But I went, how would you eat a Kit Kat? Four fingers. Hello, four fingers, how's it going? Who needs thumbs, eh? Need to smoke by the looks of things. Sorry about that. Not an ideal nickname for a young lady, is it, really? So what would you do? One finger at a time? Is that what you'd... Should we start again? Sorry, what's your name?
Anita.
Nice to meet you, Anita. Sorry for calling you Four Fingers.
We need to bring back a sense of consequences for our actions. In this world, there are no more consequences for actions, yeah? And what I'm talking about, if there's no consequences in this life, what we need to do is bring back to Britain a simple sense of hell. The idea, if we screw up in this life, right, we will burn in sulphur for all eternity in the next life. Now, this is quite a tough sell, right? You don't like that idea, do you? Right, but hear me out. This is a good idea. We got any Christians present? I need your assistance. Any Christian people here this evening? Yeah, yeah. In the pink shirt. What's your name, son?
Josh.
Fantastic. You a Christian? I am. So you understand the idea of redemption, eternity, yeah? Resurrection, eternity in particular. And I do too. I understand the notion of eternity because I went to church on Sunday. Let me tell you this. That service went on forever. If it took me an hour to open a bottle of wine, I'd be drummed out of business. Now, the point is this. How long does it take to own a packet of crisps? Get on with it. Now, we need to bring back... Now, the problem with the idea of hell is no-one's frightened of it. Now, I'm going to describe hell for you now, and none of you are going to bat an eyelid, right? And while your body's boiling in the mouldering in the grave, we'll take your soul and boil it in boiling oil for 1,000 millennium. Then after that, two sulphurous demons, emissaries of Satan himself, will come along, pull out your kidneys and set fire to them on the red-hot coals of hell itself. Then after this, another demon will come along, pull out your eyeballs, stick them on a red-hot poker, burn them on the hot coals of hell, and stick them up your arsehole, and they'll come out of your own mouth with the shit on it. And this will go on forever. So you're not bothered by that, are you? In fact, most of you are laughing at it. In fact, most of us, being British, are thinking, well, come on then! Call yourself the devil! And that's the interesting thing about hell, isn't it? When you describe it, when someone describes hell, it tells you everything you need to know about that person, right? And what he's like and what his people are like. And I describe hell then in a normal British accent, which tells you that we, the British, are stoic, tough people who could take absolutely bloody anything. And that's the interesting thing about hell. It tells you about the people telling you about it. Hell, in a French accent, for instance, sounds like a recipe. And while the body is lying down on the worms inside the flesh, we take out the soul and place it in very hot oil for a long time. Then, once it is tender, two demons come together at once, remove the kidneys and place them on the hot coals with a little white wine vinegar, some sea salt, and cook them till they're brown on the outside, but still pink in the middle. Then after this, we take the eyeballs, place them on the hot coals, cook them till crunchy on the outside, runny in the middle, on the hot poker, stick them up the arse, they come out the mouth with the shit on. It is delicious. Absolutely delicious. Hey, you see? Perverts!
To buy bedding not so long ago. Has anybody done that? No! Where does bedding come from? You just accumulate bedding, don't you? All your bloody... Has anybody here tried to buy a duvet? Have you? How did you get on?
Not too well.
Not too well? Did you come up against the old TOG rating system? It's like the Spanish Inquisition in there, isn't it? I went into Debenhams. I said, I'd like a duvet, please. He said, what TOG do you want? I said, what watch? He said, what TOG? I said, what watch? He said, what TOG? I said, what watch? I said, I can hear you. I just don't know what the hell you're talking about. What is a TOG? I went to school. We did metric. We did feet and inches. Nobody ever mentioned TOGs. What the bloody hell is a TOG? She said, it's the thickness of the duvet. I said, all right, I'll have a million. I was thinking of torches again, right? She said, you can have 8, 10.5. 12. I said, 0.5? 0.5 of a TOG, now you're giving me 0.5. I don't know what a TOG is. How am I supposed to know if I want 0.5 of a TOG? She said, well, when are you going to be used it? I said, at night, why do you think I'm going to be used it? It's a duvet, isn't it? When do people normally use duvets? Think I only go to bed at Friday lunchtimes or in the ad breaks or when Jupiter aligns with Mars? It's a duvet. She said, but will you be using it 52 weeks of the year? I thought, no, I'm going to sell it to cash converters and buy it back every now and again. That seems to make a lot of sense. She said, if you're buying it at this time of year, get a 12.5. I said, what do you mean if? What do you mean if I'm buying it at this time of year? I'm here, aren't I? What other time of year can I be buying it? I said, you're here, I'm here. This is the sale. This isn't a dry run. This is Debenhams, not the Italian job. I'm not casing the bloody joint. Let's do it now. Oh, it's not even finished. I'm not even halfway through. She said, well, how much do you want to spend? I said, if you're selling it now, about £30. She said, oh, you'll have to have feather. Oh, you'll have to have feather for that. Oh, you'll have to have a feather one for that price. I said, that's all right, I'll have a feather one. That sounds all right. Oh, no, they get a bit prickly. Oh, they get a... Do you have this? They get a bit prickly, the feather ones. It's the quill bits, you see, the quill bits. They get a bit prickly. I thought, well, what the hell are you doing filling a duvet with prickly quill bits? I can't think of anything worse to fill a duvet with than something prickly, unless you've got them out the back full of stabby things or burny stuff. I said, I just want a nice, soft, comfortable duvet. Is this too much to ask? Just give me a nice, soft, comfortable duvet. She said, well, get down then. I hit the deck, like my nerves had gone. She said, get up. I said, you said get down. She said, I meant get down instead of feather, you bloody idiot. Get down instead of feather. I said, all right, I will have down. At last we're getting somewhere, I will have down. Give me, she said, do you want duck or goose? She said, I'm going to punch you in a minute.
You know what, this is true, this. I actually was at a charity auction about 3 weeks ago, and they were selling off at this charity auction the opportunity to be a mascot at Anfield. And I kept on bidding, and it was getting close between me and another fella. And it got to the point where they said, look, we're going to have a word with you because only one of you is going to win it, and this is getting a little bit silly. And he turned to me and he said, OK, we're going to have a word with the both of you. He turned to the other fella, he said, the child who will be the mascot, how old is he? He said, 8. He turned to me, he said, the child who would be the mascot, how old would he be? I said, 42. I was so desperate to walk out at the match, old nans with Steven Gerrard like that. And it's a dream that never ends. It's a dream that never ends. That's what women don't understand. Women don't understand that men live in two worlds. We live in this world, the one that you see, and the one that's in our head, the one where everything's still possible. I would say now that there's men in this room still waiting to get bitten by a spider to find out you've got superpowers. That's what we're like. That's why when you go to football games, you always see fat, bald, middle-aged men wearing replica football kits. And you know the first time they put that shirt on, you know they looked in the mirror and thought, there's still a chance. And that's what we're like. I go to Anfield, there'll be 47,000 people there, 20,000 of them will be fat, bald, middle-aged men wearing replica football kits, waiting for that one day that Rafa Benitez walks out, looks around and goes, oh, we've only got 10 men. Hey, I tell you what, Fat Eddie looks like he'll do a job. And it's difficult because you pass that ambition on to your kids. And as I say, I've got 3 kids, and we'd all like them to be footballers, we would. And 2 of my kids are really good footballers. I've got 3 boys, and 2 of them are really good footballers, and we're very proud of them. One of them's shit, to be honest with you. One of them, he couldn't kick a ball from here to there. He couldn't. I can't remember his name at the moment, but he's... And he went to school one day and he come home, he said, Dad, you know, instead of doing PE today, you know what we did? I said, what, son? He said, we did a thing called ballet. He was about 11 at the time. I said, what? He said, we did ballet. And I know what ballet is. I've seen Billy Elliot. I know what ballet is. I said, you did ballet, son? He said, yeah. I said, what was it like? He said, I loved it, Dad. I loved it. He said, I really loved it and I want to do more of it. And I went, right, okay, son. I said, don't mention it to your granddad. But you want your kids to live the dreams, don't you? And I said, okay, son, we'll have a look into this. And I found a ballet school not too far from ours. So what I started doing is of a Saturday morning, I'd take the other 2 to football and then I'd drop him near. It's only a couple of buses. I'd drop him near. And he'd go and do ballet. And then about a year ago, I got a phone call off this school in Chester, a specialist ballet school, and he said, we've seen your son dancing. I said, yeah, and he said, we want to give him an audition. I said, all right, okay. So I spoke to him, he said, yeah, Dad, I'd like to go. And he went to this audition at this specialist ballet school in Chester. And afterwards, he phoned up and he said, you know what, he's brilliant. He's brilliant at ballet. We'd like to give him a place in the school. I said, but you're in Chester. How am I going to get him to Chester every day? He said, oh, no, this is a boarding school. If he comes here, he'll have to live here. I went, what? He said, he'd have to move here. And I said, I'm sure the other 2 can dance.
I'm the sort of person who will spend their wages like their winnings. You know what I mean? Get all excited. I just get so excited. First half of the month, I'm getting my nails done, champagne brunches, buying a second-hand jet ski I found online. But I forget about the second half of the month. We all do, don't we? And it's bleak, innit? Isn't it bleak? Just indoors, watching telly,
eating beans on a jet ski. It's embarrass myself, I do. I love it. I love shopping. I love it. People save money a lot. They're not me. I love shopping. It's the pop-up ads. They know me. I don't even resent it. Oversized smock midi dress with pockets. Yes, please. I'll have another one of them. Thank you, algorithms. Love it. Thank you. Because they're all watching us, innit? They're all watching what we're doing, listening to what we're doing. People don't like it. I don't mind it. I use it to my advantage. I'm like, I need a shed at the minute. I'm like 6x4, pre-treated timber. Works every time. But people get paranoid. Don't we have a right to get paranoid? Like my mum, paranoid. My mum is paranoid. She won't have a smartphone, not a computer in her house, nothing. She's like, they're watching. I said, it don't matter, does it, Mum? I said, it don't matter if you ain't got anything to hide. Do you know what my 73-year-old mother said to that? I have. I thought, slow down, top girl, say nothing. It matter. She's right, of course she's right. You had to do what you had to do to get through lockdown, that's what I say. Do you know what I mean? People were stockpiling. I've got three kids. There was no such thing as stockpiling with three kids, let me tell you that. Every other day I was going out for more Jack Daniels. I don't know. It's got to be done, though, isn't it? I just know what it is. Now we've all got all our freedoms, I'm worried about myself because I feel like nothing's actually as fun as you think it's going to be. Maybe it's me. There's a lot of stuff I don't get, like Brighton and tapas. Maybe it is me. But I feel like other people are pretending to have fun. Do you know what I mean? Spa days. Do you like spa day? I don't think you do. Brunches. Girls, have we signed up to 50 quid brunches? How has that become a thing, a standard? When did that happen? Not even birthdays. It's mad. I'd rather get drunk with my own scrambled eggs. Do you know what I mean? Holidays? You bothered about a holiday? No, I'm not. Again, I think you like the idea of a holiday. Do you know what I mean? I like looking for them, booking them, actually doing them. Hard work, I think. It's true though, isn't it? Do you know what? I think I would genuinely rather be hospitalised. Oh, can you imagine? Food, drink, drugs brought straight to your bed. Oh, that costs hundreds in Ibiza, hundreds. I'd start clapping for the NHS again. I would. I love it.
There's other younger people in the room, right? You know what I mean. You have only ever known a time in your life when you're trying not to get pregnant. Or trying not to get somebody else pregnant. And I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but on both accounts, I fucking smashed it. I think it comes down to skill set at the end of the day, doesn't it? People are just good at different things. Some people are good at the violin. Some people are good at parallel parking. I was very good at taking the pill. Every day. I was so good at taking the pill, I deserved a reward. Arguably, there was a reward. It was the reward of not having to watch Peppa Pig or cleaning up another human's shit. Tell you what I don't understand, right, is women who are on the pill and forget to take it. Don't get that. Because don't get me wrong, I forget things. I forget my keys, my wallet, the fact I'm married. Sure! But forgetting to take something that can prevent you from creating a human that could one day say, turn the machines off, is what she would have wanted. I'm going to remember that one, thank you. Obviously, it does happen, though. Women forget to take the pill, they get knocked up. Happened to a girl I used to work with, actually, when I used to work in an office, right? And we were chatting about it one day. She was so blasé. We're in the kitchen. She's just standing there rubbing her belly like, well, the thing is, I've just got really bad memory. I was thinking, that's funny, because every day without fail, you remember to steal my milk. Maybe if you'd strapped your packet of microgynon to my semi-skimmed. Stephen in accounts wouldn't be telling everyone how you trapped him. But I think the reason I was always very good at remembering to take the pill, because I've been on it for so long, I was on it since I was about 16, and the reason I started taking it was because I was going out with my first boyfriend, Kevin Sutherland. A boom, chicka, wow, wow. He was quite the catch. He had a Peugeot 106 and a tattoo of Bart Simpson, which I thought showed a great joie de vivre. Things were going very well between Kevin and I. We had matching bracelets from Argos, so you can tell how serious we were. And we'd agreed that we were going to do it for the first time, right? So I was like, right, I'll put myself on the pill because my first time is going to be really special. My first time is going to be just like in the movies. So the big day arrived, and Kevin, bless him, he made such an effort for everything to be really perfect. Like, he paid his little brother to leave the room. To this day, the most romantic thing a man has ever done for me. And he made a mix CD of all of our favourite romantic songs. You know, like Boom Boom Boom, Let Me Hear You Say Wayo. And as we lay down on his single bed, with his Liverpool FC duvet cover on it, the scent of Lynx Africa heavy in the air.
Listen, here's the thing. Here, you'll love this. I had said to the midwife, and this is a bit soppy, I'd said I wanted to be the first person to hold our baby. I wanted to be the first one to make flesh-on-flesh contact. I wanted to bond. I mean, it sounds silly, but I was hoping for a sort of a Lion King moment. That's what I wanted. And if that had gone well, Hakuna Matata. But I'm freaking out. So the head hangs there for about 10, 12 minutes. Finally, the midwife says, it's almost here. It's time. If your wife gives one more push, he'll arrive. So my wife went, yeah! Baby went, whoosh. I put the TV to mute. And I leapt across the front room. And I caught him. And I was the first person to make contact with our son. It was a little boy out, and he was there in my hands, all warm and new, and it's one of the most overwhelming things you will ever do. And I tell you now, I was in pieces. I was in floods of tears. My wife was crying. The midwife was crying. And your mind just becomes a mush. I mean, to this day, I can't explain why I did what I did next. It was so emotional. Maybe it's because I'm Welsh, I don't know. But I went... Well, thank God we hadn't cut the cord. He shot back! It was Junior Bungie. He ended up lying on the floor with all this umbilical cord snaking around the room back to his mother, yards of it. I thought, what the hell do we do now? I needn't have worried. Calm as a cucumber, the midwife walked over to my wife. She put her left foot on my wife's right foot and pressed hard. And just like a Hoover, the cord went, psst. Why we called him Henry.
I'll tell you a bit more about myself. I'm from the north of England. I had a very strange upbringing. My dad, he was very old-fashioned. When my sister had her menstrual cycle, he made her go and live in the shed, claiming And she was the evil seed of Satan. It's a little bit old-fashioned, isn't it? It's very sad. My sister died very young. She drowned. But, you know, like my dad said, look on the bright side. If she'd have floated, would have had to set fire to her anyway, so... She was, My nan was great, though. She was great, my nan. I remember the last thing she said to me just before she died. She said, "What are you doing in here with that hammer?" Do you ever do that thing when you're a kid where you try and slip in swear words in front of your nan to try and impress your mate? How many swear words can we fit in without nan not noticing? I'll go first. Anyone for coffee, nan? Anyone for coffee? Is it half a cup? Ah, fuck up! Ah, fuck up, is it? What time is it? Tampax 2. Tampax 2. Do you expect me to believe that? It's jolly well possible. Anyone for coffee? The last time we tried it, we were in a Chinese restaurant. We went, "Oh, nan, there's no fork and knife. What are we going to do? There's no fork and knife, nan. There's no fork and knife. What are we going to do, nan?" She went, "I don't know. I'll probably try and have to use the fork and chopsticks, your patronising pair of little..." It's her attitude. If you can't beat them, what's the point in having kids? I'm obsessed with swearing, though, because this is great, because this show's going out after 9:30. Well, it is now, but this show's going out after 9:30, right? How did I know it was CBeebies? No, it's going on after 9:30, and, I love the fact that... I don't know why, but you can't swear on telly before 9:30, but you can after 9:30. I think the BBC, as a nation, just think we're all just sat round going, "Oh, Marjorie, would you possibly pass me the bread sauce? This fish is simply divine." "Why, certainly, Kenneth. It really is a tasty salmon." "Tell me, my darling, are you aware of the time? Why, allow me to check on my small pocket antique silver wristwatch, left for me by Grandpapa all of these years ago in his will. Why, I believe it has just gone the hour of 9:30. Thank fuck for that! Let's get shit and shit on the Christmas tree, you dirty bitch! Like I say, I am from Lancashire, and I haven't got a proper Lancashire accent anymore. That went a few years ago, I'm afraid, because proper Lancashire, of course, is surprised to hell about everything all the time, innit? "Real issues in a shoe shop, couldn't believe it, it were great. Opened a tin of peas, looked inside, there were peas, it were great." My favourite accent at the moment is the South African accent. I love the fact that the South African accent is just, you know when you used to record records in the 70s backwards, and then when you played them backwards, they sounded forwards? That's what South African is, isn't it? It's just the record player backwards. "Hello, my name's Lee and I'm from England." "Oh, my name's Dave and I came from South Africa. I don't know you get it, man, like, yes, yes. Living in London, it's too expensive and I don't like it. Kill your parents, kill them, Beelzebub, kill your parents." Whereas the Australians, they just sound like a record that won't start properly. "Where are you from, mate?" "I'm from Melbourne, mate." "And how long have you lived there?" "Mate, 14 fucking years, mate, fucking 11, mate."
To be honest with you, I'm bisexual, but during lockdown, I'll admit, I was strategically gay. I think that was the only way to go. When dating became such that you had to meet strangers in parks, and also you had to believe the other person when they said they washed their hands. I'm not doing that with men. I also think that ultimately, if you are bi, I don't really know why anybody would be choosing men. Yeah? No offense, it's just that we smell better and you're violent. So... The men who don't laugh at that unnerve me most. Yeah, okay. Good lad, join in. Okay. There are good things about being broken up with. I think one of my favourite things is that I had to get my house sorted, so I got a bunch of DIY done. I think DIY is amazing. In particular, there's one silver lining, and that is that DIY reminded me of something I had long forgotten the point of, which is, of course, men. You're amazing, aren't you? Specifically, I'm a fan of a subgenre of men. They're called handymen. Do we know these guys? Oh my God, they're wizards. I love them. They do magic. I adore them. You're not sold. That's okay. I had one lad in one day, had a bunch of photos and art on the floor, left, came back, on the wall. Oh, I'm sorry, these guys are defying gravity and you're not impressed by that? Incredible. I'm obsessed with them. I love them. I also had one day where I had two men in. I know, very exciting. And I had a bookcase, right, that needed bolting to the wall. I said, "Can you bolt that to the wall?" They said, "Yeah, of course we can." I said, "Cool. Just so you know, even if you bolt it to the wall, the floor is uneven, so it will wobble." They said, "No, don't worry about that, sure. We'll just get some extra wood and pop it under it." What? get some MDF and pop it under it. What is this witchcraft? Here's the thing, Apollo. They did. I was like, I will suck you both off. Obviously, I had to think about it afterwards because head was my first reaction. Only my first reaction, I think a normal one. My second one was, of course, to wonder how I am a woman in her 30s who doesn't know how to do any DIY. And I think the obvious answer there is that men are keeping it a secret to remain relevant. And that's not on me, right? But I do know some women can do DIY. I date soft butches, I'm aware. But genuinely, I mainly know because a woman came to my house from British Gas, very modern, and she fixed my boiler, right? And after she was done, she said, okay, that's all done, all sorted. Just before it works, you will need to bleed the radiators. I said, what? She said, oh, for that to work, you're just gonna need to bleed the radiators. I said, the butch one left. What are you saying? Sorry. Can't really hear you behind all of my hair. What's happening? She goes, do you want me to show you how to do that? I said, is that allowed? Women in the room, look at me. Come here to me now, focus, right? Did you know that that is just turning a key and waiting for liquid? It is basic hand job stuff and no one will tell you. Has acted like that as a state secret, right? This man's furious, I'm telling you. You now have all the information you need, you're free, run. My dad bleeds a radiator in such a way that I thought he used his own dick. I thought there was actual blood involved. He'll go off with a bunch of tissues being like, I will do it, do not look, I will do it. Anyway, she fixed my boiler, so I was like, I will eat you out. They all said no, I had to pay both times. It's hard out there.
I was on holiday recently. I was on an all-inclusive. We all love an all-inclusive holiday, don't we? Oh, aye. Chips and gatto for breakfast. Yes. I always think it's amazing. I can always identify where people are from on an all-inclusive holiday. It's fascinating for me. Like, the Italians. You can always tell the Italians because they could put on a bag of rags and look amazing. Then you can see the Germans, and they're quiet, and they're reserved. And then there's us, the British. That's interesting, isn't it? Because we all want to become pals with each other. I've had a pen pal in Woking for 25 years that I met in Lanzarote. But it was a really, really interesting for me because there's a way I can always tell if someone is from the south of England on holiday. And it's, I don't need to hear your accent, nothing. The way, number one, I will tell if you are from the south of England is, it will be 9 o'clock at night, it's 28 degrees, the moon and the stars are out, and you come out wearing a wee jumper. Because it gets a bit chilly. It's 28 degrees, the moon's out, I'm Scottish, I'm like past the factor 50 hen. Do not trust the moon burn. Get me the factor 50. Then there's another way I can always tell someone is from the south of England. You and I are on an all-inclusive holiday. We can eat as much as we want, and they will go to the bar and they will order a half pint. No, you can't order a half pint in Scotland. Next time you visit Scotland, try and order a half pint. That is one of the most tense conversations you will ever have. About 3 months ago, I went to a bar in my home city of Glasgow, and I says to the barman, can I have 2 pints of lager and a half pint of lager? And he looked at me, and he went, what was that? I said, it's 2 pint. He went, no, just the last one. I mean, it's just a half pint of lager, mate. Hold on. Come here. Tell him. Just the last one. I mean, it's just a half pint of lager. Is that for you? It's for my pal. Huh? Are they on antibiotics? Are they pregnant? Would they like a colouring book in crayons with that?
My girlfriend said to me, have you been having sex behind my back? I said, who the fucking hell do you think it was? And another thing, it wouldn't kill you to look round once in a while, check how I'm doing. Well, I'm Jimmy Carr, and we've got Alan Carr on the show later on. How about that? I keep on getting mistaken for Alan Carr, so what I've done is I've stopped sucking men off. Don't get the wrong idea. You know, I'm a very gay-friendly act. I was asked last year to judge Mr. Gay UK. I said, no problem at all. He's against nature and against God, and he's going to hell. Right, who have we got in the audience this evening? We've got Nikki Hambleton-Jones is in. Hello. I've seen your show. Yours is the one where you get ladies naked and then they cry. We've all been there. For me, that's a very successful Friday night out. Have we got James Morrison? Is James Morrison in the house? Where's he? Can't believe it. Hello, James. How are you? An amazing musician, especially if you find James Blunt a bit rocky. You Give Me Something is an amazing song. You Give Me Something is my favourite song ever about chlamydia. My favourite, I love it. Dean Macy's here, where's Dean Macy? Dean Macy? You're our hope for Beijing, aren't you, in the decathlon? I love the decathlon. You know, it's where you do 10 different things, isn't it? Sort of jack of all trades, master of none. If you don't mind me saying. The 2012 Olympics is going to cost £8 billion, which is, you know, a lot of money. It's probably going to bankrupt London, but you can't put a price on two bronze medals in cycling. Incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, the highest speed ever achieved on a bicycle was done by a British man, 166 miles per hour on a bike. It was recorded at a level crossing. £8 billion is a lot of money. I mean, for that kind of money, we could have another 3 weeks in Iraq. I don't have a stalker, but I do have a woman that sends me pants in the post. Thanks, Mum. People ask me how I relax, so I tell them. I put Smarties tubes onto cats' legs to make them walk like a robot. If I'm really stressed, I make them go down the stairs. It's adorable, they look so confused. I realise some of you will be worried about the cat. Don't worry about the cat. If it's hurt, if it breaks its leg, it's already got a splint on. I should warn you, don't kick off this evening. I'm middle class, but I'm hard. Al dente, you might say. If you got the al dente reference, you're middle class too, well done. I've got quite a posh voice, though. Would you agree with that, Hammersmith? Yeah. It's quite a posh voice, but we've all got a phone voice. Mine's quite breathy. I quite like those phone sex lines. I like them because they're the only place in the world where premature ejaculation is an advantage. I once came in under 75 pence.
I think we've got a problem. I think we're using the word Muslim far too quickly to describe people doing atrocities when they don't represent Muslims any more than I do. And I think we should be using a more accurate word for those people, which I'm going to argue is knobhead. It's a political rally now, don't we? There'd be levels of knobhead. There'd be levels. You'd have like a moderate knobhead all the way up to fundamental knobhead. If we all did it, the news would have to catch up. They'd have to go, today, two knobheads bombed a car. They'd have to do it. We all... And it wouldn't necessarily be to do with terrorist activity. Not just that. Just any knobheady activity would get the knobhead word. I've thought of some. People that wear a festival wristband after a festival. Ugh, the worst. Oh, I went to Reading. It's November. You're in a Costa. You're a knobhead. Couples that put a lock
on a bridge, you're both knobheads. Sorry, hate that. Hate it. Sanctimonious mothers, have to be careful here. I don't mean all mothers by any means, just a lot of my friends having kids at the minute, and it's the sort of mothers that go, don't tell me how to raise my kids. And you're like, okay, but she is trying to eat a petit filou with an electric razor, so... you're a bit of a knobhead, aren't you? Ever so slightly. Amanda Holden, fundamental knobhead. I just don't like her. I don't like her. Encourage me, because I'm sure she's lovely. I think she's despicable. no, I don't have a problem with Muslims in Birmingham at all. Happy to have them. I think they add to our city and to our culture. I think the big problem we have in Birmingham, it's happening around the country, actually. We have a lot of artisan coffee shops. You know the sort of places I'm on about, like Shoreditch is full of them, kind of like distressed wood, that kind of thing. And they serve flat whites, and they'll say things like, we support local artists. And you know that because the art on the wall is shit. dozens of Birmingham, they're all shit. There's one I quite like, I can't say the name for legal reasons. They do an avocado and feta smash. It's a very aggressive word, I feel. For what is essentially pressing with a fork. Avocado and feta smash! And for £1, £1.50 extra, you can get a poached egg on top. It's a lovely way to start the day. I went in recently and I said to the girl, I said, I'd like the avocado and feta smash, please, with the poached egg. And she went, oh, we don't do the egg anymore. I said, why is that? And she went, the kitchen was struggling to cope.
Here's the thing. Here, you'll love this. I had said to the midwife, and this is a bit soppy, I'd said I wanted to be the first person to hold our baby. I wanted to be the first one to make flesh-on-flesh contact. I wanted to bond. I mean, it sounds silly, but I was hoping for a sort of a Lion King moment. Parson Vinya! Lassie, come the way, pinsy way!
If that had gone well, Hakuna Matata.
But I'm freaking out. So the head hangs there for about 10, 12 minutes. Finally, the midwife says, it's almost here. It's time. If your wife gives one more push, he'll arrive. So my wife went, yeah! Baby went, I put the TV to mute. And I leapt across the front room. And I caught him. And I was the first person to make contact with our son, who was a little boy out. And he was there in my hands, all warm and new. And it's one of the most overwhelming things you will ever do. And I tell you now, I was in pieces. I was in floods of tears. My wife was crying. The midwife was crying. And your mind just becomes a mush. I mean, to this day, I can't explain why I did, what I did, next. It was so emotional. Maybe it's because I'm Welsh. I don't know. But I went... Well, thank God we hadn't cut the cord. He shot back! It was Junior Bungie. He ended up lying on the floor. With all this umbilical cord snaking around the room back to his mother, yards of it. I thought, what the hell do we do now? I needn't have worried. Calm as a cucumber. The midwife walked over to my wife. She put her left foot on my wife's right foot and pressed hard. And just like a Hoover, the cord went psst.
why we called him Henry.
Last time I did a gig in London, right, how great a heckle is this? This bloke went, "Oi, Howard, would you shag your dad to save your mum?" Right? He was so aggressive, it was like it wasn't hypothetical. Like my mum was in a van and my dad was in a harness, you know? What would you do? I panicked and went, "I think I'd shag my dad." And this bloke went, "Oh, tell him then. He worked with my dad." Now, I don't know if you've ever had a phone call that chilling. "All right, son, what's all this about you wanting to bum me?" "Dad, you don't understand. They were gonna kidnap mum." "Well, that changes things, son. Before you start, you best knock me out. You don't want tips on how to bum your dad. Treat me right, son. Run me a bath. Put Radox in it. I'm not your bitch. All right, Dad, I've got to go. Lift my hips up." Weird moment, you know? Dads. I can't wait to be a dad. Obviously, I'm not ready. I'm still afraid of the dark. I think that's fairly crucial. "Dad, can you get my coat?" "I don't think so, son. It's in the cupboard, and that is where the goblins live." "You won't trick me, I'm so wise." Such a child, you know? So, you know that feeling when you're near a wardrobe, there's always part of you going, "Come on, this time." Narnia, it never happens. But... I bet that's an arrow fun at MFI, just no. I'll give anyone in this room 200 quid if they go to IKEA tomorrow dressed as a lion and hide in a cupboard. That's... Been travelling all over the place. It's been great. I've been on tour, right? I've seen some really weird things, right? I was in a sandwich shop the other day. Did you ever see a sign that really annoys you? There was this big sign that said, "Hey, why not try a guilt-free wrap?" Like, what? Don't make sandwiches evil. How ridiculous is that? Sandwiches are lovely. The bacon sandwich is one of the greatest things in the world. It tastes lovely, and conceptually, it's a wonderful thing. A bacon sandwich is essentially bread giving a dead pig a cuddle. It's a lovely thing. "I love you, Mr. Pig. Why do the Jews hate me?" It's lovely, right? And there was a sign... joke. And there was a sign... There was a sign next to it that said, "You may have cancer." Now I'm fat and I'm gonna die, right? I was in a really bad mood, and then madness occurred. From nowhere, bloke in the counter, behind the counter, yawned. This bloke in front of him, who did not know him, popped his finger in his mouth and went, "Ooh, yawn rape," and I nearly died. Now, I've never seen a yawn rape before. I was like, "It's just been a yawn rape." Did the man headbutt him? No, he didn't. He giggled and went, "It's a good job I didn't fart, wasn't it?" And you sat there, you know, that proper huge belly laugh. They're great when they happen. I remember the first time I properly went, "Bruh!" My friend Tom, age 5, stood up in the middle of a nativity play and went, "Well, enough's enough." Heroic. But what made it even more heroic, he was the front end of a donkey. That's incredible, right? They're brilliant, aren't they, belly laughs, aren't they? When they leap out from nowhere. I could watch drunk people for hours. Don't you love it? You know when people are mischief pissed? You know, when they put like a bollard or a cone on top of a bus stop? How fantastic's that? "I'm pissed. Fighting, nightclub, women. Nope, that bus stop needs a hat." "It looks like a wizard, Dave. I've done it." 5 points to Gryffindor.
When we first moved to our area, it was a bit shit, right? But it's got nice. It's got a little bit nicer. It's very slightly gentrified. So now everyone that owns their property, they go on Rightmove every day for a little wank. Like, "Ooh, let's have a little look at what our house is worth. Let's think of somewhere cheaper and put it in and see what we could get for it. Put it in somewhere shit, somewhere, I don't know, somewhere up north. Put that in." And then you're like, "Fucking hell, we could own Hull." It's disgusting. It's very vulgar. So, I've never lived anywhere nice before. It's been quite interesting watching it sort of change a little bit. Like, first off, there's little signs that you notice when a change is on the horizon. Like, first off, it's the availability of sourdough. Change are coming. And then it's the pub. It's always the pub. You've got to keep an eye on the pub. The pub changes. Like, our old pub, it was a sort of working-class pub. Old blokes in there, smoking roll-ups, buying and selling the odd gun, watching Sky Sports, right? But they've all had to go now. They've all been kicked out and the pub's been done up. It's all shabby chic. It's all been done a bit retro. And now, you know, there's like pictures on the wall, old Polaroid photographs of working class blokes smoking roll-ups, buying and selling guns, watching Sky Sports. And you can eat there. You can get food in the pub now. You can get a rustic frittata on a distressed camping plate. Or like a pizza off a bin lid. Spray. Tapas off a plank. Because gentrified people like to eat food from bits of shit in a shed, bits of crap sticking around in a garage. I've had soup out of a bedpan. Nice. I like it, I like it. You have to get a tetanus after you've had a meal, but it's nice. And parenting at Christmas time. I worry about my parenting. I don't know if I'm that good at it. I get into rows. I row with my kids. You shouldn't row with kids, should you? It's really frowned at. I said to my friend, I row with my kids. And she said, what do you mean you row with them? You mean you, like, tell them off? I said, no, because that would suggest status, wouldn't it? That would imply I've got some power in our relationship. But I don't seem to have any power. We were in the supermarket recently, getting all the shopping in. I'm quite harassed. I've got other things I need to be doing. One of them's like, no, we don't like pasta shells. We only like pasta bows. I'm like, it's the same. It's the same thing. All of the pastas are the same. The pipes and the bows and the shells and the twists. What are you looking at? I said, you don't give a toss about shape when it's chocolate, do you? No. It's not good. No, because there's no glory in winning a row with a child. Like, if you win a row with your mate, you then tell your other mate, don't you? And then you're like, and then I said, right. And then I said, you don't give a shit about shape when it's chocolate, do ya? And I said it to her face. Like, oh, well done with your six-year-old kid. Well done, Kel. And my son loves to play Snap. He loves to play dinosaur Snap. And he hates to lose, because kids do, don't they? Kids hate losing games. You won't meet a kid that loses a game that's like, no, it's fine, best of five, let's just go again. So I have to let him win, because I'm his mum and I love him in a sort of oppressive, clawing way. So I have to let him win. He'll lose at things later in life when I can't control that for him. But for this game of Snap, I can let him win, can't I? But it turns out that my reflexes aren't as sentimental as me. So a Diplodocus goes down, and then another Diplodocus, and before I quite know what's happening, I'm like, Snap! Snap!
Do you remember years ago, when they were making Braveheart, everyone said, oh, it's ridiculous, Mel Gibson playing a Scottish guy. That's not going to be very convincing. And look at him now. An alcoholic racist. Scottish thing I've ever seen. I was going through a town called Bathgate at night, and there was a guy pissing against the front door like that, who then took out his keys and went inside. I'm from Glasgow. If I had to explain Glasgow to you, I'd say that if I had to pick a city in the world where I could depend on a member of the public to punch a man who was on fire. To punch a flaming man to the ground. We should get a photo of that blown up and use it as the welcome sign at Scottish airports. And underneath, we should have the words, Scotland welcomes careful drivers. I mean, the naivety of Al-Qaeda trying to bring religious war to Glasgow. We're 400 years ahead of you guys. You've not even got a football team. There's a fallacy, isn't there, that baggage handler prevented hundreds of people from being horribly burned. These were Scottish people flying to Spain. People say it's good they didn't hit a fuel depot. I think it's good they didn't hit the queue coming out of duty free. They got up like Hiroshima.
British Army have got a big recruiting drive on in Scotland at the minute. Because that's what you need if you're fighting an unwinnable war in the desert. More ginger people. That's why they couldn't send Prince Harry. They couldn't afford the resources required to start developing Factor 60,000 sunblock. It's not always the friendliest place in the world, Scotland. I once saw an English guy in Glasgow trying to order a pint of lager and lime, and the barman went, "We don't do cocktails." We can't just be dour, negative bastards up there. John Logie Baird invented the TV, and when people came up to congratulate him, he went, "Aye, but there's fuck all on." We're looking forward to the Olympics in London. I'll take that as a no. They say the Olympics is going to rekindle English national pride. I mean, come on, for 9.2 billion, you could have written fuck off Germany onto the moon.
I'm married to a comedian, did you know, John Richardson? Oh, yeah. Oh, you know he is. Do you know, because I'm going on tour, my management company, they took a Facebook advert out and someone said, don't read the comments. So I did. There was just one that bothered me, and this guy had put, without trying to be too crude, how many has she had to suck to get the career she's got? I mean, the answer's one, but... It's weird to applause that, isn't it? It's only weird for my granddad. He's watching. That's not weird. You've made that weird for an 87-year-old. Anyway, but the thing, because I don't know whether you've noticed, but I've started to do a bit of telly now, and then I'm in this weird stage where I'm getting recognised, but I'm not used to it yet. And I walked in a pub last night, and there was a woman staring at me, and I thought, what are you fucking looking at? And then I realised, oh, it's me. I did, you know Michael McIntyre's The Wheel? Have you seen it? The game show? I lost someone £98,000. If you've seen the show, you know they go back down in the ground. When he went down, he turned to me and said, I've had a lovely day, thank you. That would have slapped me. We're both vegan now. I'm a vegan that likes steak for the iron. And John's a vegan when he's interviewed on TV. It's a weird life for him, though, you know. As you've seen it through his eyes, the situations we're getting for... Because he's been on TV 10 years. We went and did this gig, you know, in a school. And then we parked up, and he turned to me and he said, I've got to go. And I was like, oh, all right, then, just wait till you get in. He was like, I've got to go now. And he didn't let me get out. He got on the back seat, and luckily we had a bucket because we'd been to Seaside. We've got blacked-out windows. And I got out, and there was two of his fans waiting for him. And they said, we've come all the way from Rotherham to see John. They said, where is he? I said, he's shitting in a bucket in the... And they said at the same time, we'll wait. But yeah, but we're both vegan. And then when we go out for a nice meal, I'll order the steak for the iron. And he'll order butternut squash. And then he'll be looking at my steak and he's not listening to what I'm saying. And so what I do right at the end, I go,
oh, I can't eat that last bit. Oh, what a waste, like that. And then we just swap the plates round and it's all in silence. And he eats this bit of steak and the look on his face after he's eaten it is like, you know those Facebook adverts that go viral of the deaf baby when it gets a hearing aid? Is its mother talk? that's what it's like.
Liverpool's has a strange relationship with Manchester as well. Is there anybody in from Liverpool? Yeah. All right, I thought we might have priced you out. Not to worry. I love Liverpool. It's a beautiful city. And I remember when I first went over there, I support Manchester City, right? That's my football team. And I remember going over there, me Manchester City shirt, and I stopped this bloke at the train station. I said, listen, mate, I'm a bit lost. I'm trying to find the docks. Can you help us out? And he turned around and he went... Which is a word in Liverpool, right? Honestly. Right? It means you're not welcome, right? You pick it up quick enough, right? Eventually, he got to some sound. He went, eh! Because they're naturally witty. They're born with that, right? He said, he said, what are you doing over here in Liverpool? I love him. I do. Now, at that stage, you're tempted to say calm down, but that makes things worse, right? You don't like that. I was very brave, though. I looked in the eye and said, listen, I asked you for directions, officer. You are bang out of order, mate. But football, you know, has that problem, doesn't it? There's a lot of cities hate each other just because of the football. You know, I support City and obviously Manchester United is our nearest club. And have we got any United fans in? Of course we have. We're in Hammersmith. There's always a United fan. Every gig I do, there's a United fan. They're like rats. You're only ever 3 metres away from one of the bastards. Everywhere you go. Everywhere you go is a red. Football, but I'm getting to this stage where I'm starting to dislike footballers. I don't know if anyone else has this problem, right? But these like multi-millionaires running around the pitch, you know, every 5 minutes. I've hurt myself. There was a bloke a few weeks back, he missed 3 Premiership games with a dead leg, right? Now, that's not an injury, is it, a dead leg, right? When I was a kid, I had 3 dead legs in one day once, right? And that was for free. I still have to do PE and walk home. That's not an injury, mate. My granddad's favourite footballer was a German goalkeeper called Bert Trautmann. Right, now, in the 1956 FA Cup final, does anyone know what happened to old Bert? He broke his neck. Look at you like the quiz team. Bang, straight in, no messing about. He broke his neck and carried on playing, right? That's how hard they were in the 50s. The metatarsal, not even invented in 1956. He just got up, carried on diving about with a wobbly head, right? Not bothered. Not these days, it's the fans keep shouting nasty things at us.